Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and the Thinking LSAT podcast. This question comes from Jess, says, I'm getting the scores I want on my practice tests, which is high 160s, but I don't remember / haven't really been using the wrong answer types, argument types, conclusion types, etc. Is it a good idea to go back and memorize these? Or should I just keep practicing without them because I am doing well? I fear that if I get too methodical with the questions that I will end up doing worse. On the other hand, I wonder if it will bring my score to the next level if I approach questions more systematically than I am now. I'm taking August if that is relevant for the answer. So this episode needs to go out fairly quickly to get to Jess before she takes the August test. What do you think about this?
Well, I was mildly confused as I was listening to you read this first sentence. I've never heard of answer types. I guess that argument types might be something like flaw names. I again don't know. The only thing I'm remotely like confident about is conclusion types. Maybe she's thinking about like intermediate conclusions versus main conclusions, but that's the only two types I can think of. So I think there's a lot of types here that,
yeah,
Jess, you don't need to worry about. If you're getting roll questions wrong because you don't know what an intermediate conclusion is, well then yeah, figure that out. But I can't think of any other types you need to know.
At LSAT Demon, we are aggressively trying to eliminate all of this type of shit anyway. You don't need it. Like, she's scoring in the high 160s without any of this shit.
Yeah.
So clearly she didn't need it to get to this point. Then why does she need it to get to the next point? I think Ben touched on the answer to her question, which is if you're missing questions, then you need to review those questions and figure out why you're missing those questions. And if that then leads into a discussion of some of this stuff, these types that she's so worried about, well, then, yeah. I mean, the difference between a strengthened question and a must be true question is huge. And they both can say the words most strongly supported in the question. And, you know, like, there are times where you're going to be much more likely to get the right answer if you're conscious of that question type.
Which is odd because she never even mentioned question types.
Question types is the one thing that I would actually pay attention to. And yeah, she's talking about all this other weird wrong answer types. There's what? What
yeah,
is that?
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know anything about argument types. I don't know anything about conclusion types. We just don't do that stuff. We're much more about an intuitive, natural understanding of the test. Read it carefully. What does it say? What is it asking? Pick the answer that answers the question. The four wrong answers just don't.
Is Jess a Demon user? Do we have any idea?
I don't think so. I think Jess is a brand new Demon Daily podcast listener.
Yeah, I feel like this is almost coming from that company that shall not be named.
Right. Yeah. We are committed to the idea that the LSAT is actually easy because it is. I mean, there are many people who score perfectly on reading comp on their very first attempt or close to perfect on logical reasoning on their very first attempt. And that just really shows that you don't need much of this theory. What you do need is to practice. You need to read it carefully. You need to probably take it more seriously than many people do when they first start. But we're not about lists of shit to memorize.
No. I mean, if there are words and phrases, terminology that comes up on the LSAT that you're not familiar with, like a necessary condition or a sufficient condition, then yeah, you better figure out what that means in the context of that question. But it will come up over and over and over again, and you will get it. You don't need any made up stuff.
I'll give an example of something that is kind of artificial, which high 160s scorers who can't score in the low 170s almost always don't know the difference between a sufficient assumption question and a necessary assumption question.
Yep.
They can't spot the difference, or even if they do spot the difference, they don't have the right strategy for one of the types versus one of the other versus the other type.
Well, they get them mixed up, and they conflate
them all the time, because you can get to the high 160s on accident. Mm-hmm. You can get them right for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
But on the hardest sufficient assumption or necessary assumption questions, you are going to need to know that difference.
Yep.
But all I would do, Jess, is continue to study. And when you miss one of those questions, then read the explanation, watch the videos, ask your teacher questions, because that's where you're actually going to learn how to not make that mistake next time.
Yeah.
But I would always be just driven by the actual questions that I'm missing during my practice. Thanks, Jess. Everybody can email daily at lsatdemon.com if you want to ask us a question or share some hot LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening. Thank you.